Romans, we do a quick overview. Really, Romans 1 through 8 deals with man's issue. Man's issue is sin. Points that out in Adam. And then he talks about how to fix that problem. It's not by good works. It's not by helping enough people. It is by trusting in Christ by way of faith. At that point, you become justified. Paul goes on then in 9 through basically 11, and he talks about the nation of Israel and how the nation of Israel will be redeemed. God has not abandoned it. Eventually, Israel will be redeemed, God's people. And then after that, Paul gets into what is called, most scholars, myself agree, is the practical side of Romans. He's laid the foundation for salvation. What salvation is not, salvation, by the way, is fully secure. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Those who not walk according to the flesh, but those who walk according to the Spirit. There's only two ways that you can live. One is a spiritual life. One is a worldly life. And Paul throws this in again in a different way here in chapter 12. In chapter 12 now, which we're going to spend this week and next week, and then I'll close this series out, we're going to look at service. And yes, I think the text that we are dealing with today refers to service, and it refers to service all the way down. Because I think unless we have this text down, I'm not sure we can really serve him. And I think Apostle Paul starts here very well. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then you'll notice that the Apostle Paul goes on, and right down in verse 6, he says, having gifts that differ. Paul doesn't divorce this text from that. So we have to understand what this text means so we can understand what next week's text means. And I think as we look at it, it says, first of all, that we must surrender to Christ. I don't think you can possibly serve Christ in the way that he wants you to serve, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the community, whether it's in this world. I don't think that we as a body can serve Christ fully until we have come to this place in our life. Notice Paul throws out the motivation right up front. Now notice, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, and that is a urging, a strong call. Please listen. Please come on board with this. And he calls them brothers, obviously, because brothers and sisters in Christ, that's who we are. But notice the motivation that Paul uses. It is by what? It's by the mercies of God. So Paul throws this appeal out before he gets into this long section. He throws it out and he says, I'm going to make this appeal based on God's mercy. By the way, mercy really means compassion and sympathy. And that is God's compassion and sympathy towards us. Let me just go through a quick few things here. Number one, God saw our helpless condition. We were all sinners, and we were struggling in the mire and mud of this world, and God saw this, and I don't think this was a knee-jerk reaction. I think God knew this from the foundations of the world to the end. He saw that mankind was going to have a problem, and guess what the problem is? It's me and you. It's all of us. We are sinners, pure and simple. I don't care what the world says. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's it. Cut and dry. Sinners. God saw this. He saw that Pastor Mike could not save himself. He saw that Brother Bill could not save himself. He saw that Brother Dave could not save himself. He had to do something. So what God did was he sent his son to rescue us. By the way, this is the gospel in a nutshell. What I call the mercies of God. And there's probably tons of other ones that you can add when it talks about the mercy of God. He sent his son to rescue us. That means Jesus came because he saw that we were helpless. We could not help ourselves. Thirdly, Jesus Christ went to the cross so that he can forgive all of our sin. If you are in Christ today, I think Paul Ways bears this out too. The things I don't want to do, that's what I wind up doing and I get in trouble. But The issue is that all of your sins are forgiven. I can't tell you how many Christians I have met and talked with in 23 years of pastoral ministry that have never nailed down the foundation of God's forgiveness in their heart. Well, Pastor, way back then, well, that's under the blood of Christ. Well, this happened, that's under the blood of Christ. God can never forgive me. Oh, yes, he can, and he does. And so here you have some of the mercies of God. I think I've got one more. Yes, I do. And by the way, he gives us eternal life. Though then, I think Paul, if you go back and you, I would hope you go back and read the first eight chapters at least, you would have to see some of these themes coming out. And so when he talks about by the mercies of God, Paul's saying, I want you to go back and I want you to think about how merciful God has been to you. And based on that, this is how I want you to live. I think it's a very strong motivation because it softens the group that he's speaking to. And he says, I want you to live like this, but these are the reasons, this is the motivation why I want you to live like this. It's by the mercies of God. All of us in this room today have been benefactors of the mercy of God. The day that you trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were a benefactor of that mercy. And by the way, we are all living in that mercy of God. None of us can claim anything of our own. You do realize that. So the Apostle Paul talks here, first of all, about the mercy of God. But then how we do this. The Apostle Paul says, okay, I want you to surrender to Christ. Actually surrender to God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity. But how do we do that? How do we do that? I think service starts right here because you do realize that you are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. And so the Apostle Paul here begins with the mandate or the means by which we do this. He says to present your bodies. We must make ourselves totally available to God for whatever purpose he wants to accomplish through us. I like what F.F. Bruce said here. The sacrifices of the new order, that is the New Testament, what we are reading right here, the sacrifice of a new order, do not consist in the taking of lives of others like the ancient animal sacrifices, but in giving one's own. Listen, in order to properly understand service, there needs to be a mindset that we are under the mercies of God, but there also needs to be the mindset that we owe everything to God and we give him everything. Our heart, our talents, our thoughts. He'll go in here about mind in just a minute. The only place that we can possibly get to a form of worship which is acceptable to God, a form of service which is acceptable to God, is by surrendering everything that we have and laying it on the altar. One pastor said this, and I kind of chuckled. He said, there's one problem with living sacrifices. They have a tendency to crawl off the altar. In other words, we need to die to ourselves. And in dying to ourselves, which, by the way, when we show baptism, it talks about dying to ourselves and being raised with Christ. You and I all have to realize that we have to die to ourselves. It's not about us. This life has never been about us, and it will not be about us. It is about him who redeemed us. So, I think F.F. Bruce is right. We have to surrender who we are. As living sacrifices, the Old Testament priest would put the sacrifice on the altar and God would consume it. Guess what this text is saying? This text is saying, guess what? You and I are the lamb on the altar before God. That's a different spin, and I don't think this text lives in isolation, and I don't think Paul just dropped it in because he had something on his mind. I believe God directed him to write this because you've got to start here when you talk about serving God. So I guess within the resources, the recesses of our own hearts and our own minds, we need to ask ourselves the question, have we given God everything? Have we given him our entire being? That's a good question. It's one we need to wrestle with. He says it needs to be holy. This is a very interesting word, which means dedicated and pure. You'll notice he says holy and pleasing to God. Again, I would go with Douglas Moo, one of my favorite theologians. He says this, it implies here that the offering of ourselves to God involves a being set apart. That's contained in the word holy or dedicated. Set apart from the profane, and this is what's pure, and dedication to service of the Lord. Douglas Moo totally agrees with me that this text is connected to service. You absolutely cannot divorce the two. And what is clear is that God expects us to be set apart. And actually, when you become consecrated to God, you are set apart for his service. So I would encourage you this morning, maybe at the end of this sermon, to come forward and rededicate yourself. Because this is where service starts. If this is not part of the service, your service to God, then that service will not last. And I think it's something that we need to do a lot. Secondly, well, the goal, obviously, is to please God. Because notice what he says. Look at the text. As living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. That is, to please God. And then notice he says, this is your spiritual worship. Spiritual worship meaning that when we offer ourselves to God, cleansed vessels, seeking the Lord with all of our heart, God is able to do something. And I would encourage you again this morning to think about this aspect, that our lives are here to please God, not others, not man, not the world. It is to please him who redeemed us. Secondly, he says, not only are we to surrender to Christ, but we're to separate from the world. This is a huge thing, and Paul gets a little tougher here. Notice what he says, do not. That is an imperative command in the Greek, which means it is not open for discussion. So, he lays this down initially. By the mercies of God, I want you to present yourself as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable. This is going to involve something. And what it involves is a break from the way the world does things. That means that we don't live like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't live by world standards. Our standards are right here. That's where our standards are. And the Holy Spirit who guides us and directs us and helps us. He says here, do not be conformed. I love this picture. That's us. That's us. The world's going this way. We go that way. We don't live like the world. We don't think like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't conform to the world. By the way, this is what the Greek word means, and I didn't feel like to Greek you to death, but it means, the word means, and I wrote this, to pattern one's behavior after something or squeeze oneself into a mold. In other words, when we're out there living, we say, okay, this is the way the world lives. I don't want to live like that because I have already dedicated myself to God. I have already given him my heart, my soul, my being. I have been blessed by the mercies of God. I have dedicated this, and to be a holy and acceptable sacrifice, at least in the Old Testament, and I think this is where Paul's going with this, that the sacrifice had to be without blemish, perfect, and that was the only sacrifice that God would accept. Guess what? Punt to the New Testament. That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about a perfect sacrifice. You say, whoa, pastor, wait, whoa. That's a hard thing to do. Yes, it is. And I'll tell you this right up front. I love that song this morning. I'm not home yet. This is not my world. I don't know if you guys planned that, but that was perfect. We've got to remember, brothers and sisters, this is not our home. We are only here until we cross the finish line and see Jesus face to face. And in this body, we make mistakes, we mess up, we do things bad, we don't do things right, we sin against God, we sin against one another. But you know what? In spite of that fact, we just keep getting up, asking for forgiveness, keep moving forward and going forward, continually dedicating our lives and our hearts to Him. There's a danger here. And I think the danger is real. Notice he says, do not be conformed. In other words, don't live like the world. Don't do the way they live. And this world world refers to everything that God has in this world. It means people, everything. It refers to everything the world is. The last time I checked, this world is sinful. And it needs to be redeemed. And that's the only way that a lot of these problems in this world can be fixed is through Christ. There is no other answer. However, our goal, and I love this, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I think this is where we get into trouble, is when we start looking at things through the lens of how this world is rather than through the lens of how God's world is. And renew our minds. Now notice what he says here. But be transformed. Transformed. I want to stop there for a minute. They're doing wonderful things with surgery. I'm constantly amazed. I'm constantly amazed at what doctors can do with the human heart. I mean, it really is unbelievable. How they do it, they take the heart out. I really don't know how they do that. But I do know that when the doctor does it correctly, the patient lives. And in most cases, psychologically, there is a transformation that takes place in that patient. Let me say this. When we come to faith in Christ, a transformation takes place. But it takes place within. There's a change, a radical change. I didn't fully understand this when I was a new believer. All I knew was that day that I received Christ as my Lord and Savior that something had happened. I had no idea the magnitude of what this thing would happen. But now as I've gotten older in Christ, I've started to realize that the transformation is a one-time deal done by Christ. But Paul's language here very clearly says that the transformation is a day-to-day thing. It ain't easy. I'm just telling you right up front, it ain't easy. It's a tough thing to do. That means every day, you're saying, Pastor, every day I have to wake up and I have to say, Lord, transform me into your image. That's exactly what I'm saying. As living sacrifices who are dedicated to God, we need to make that transformation not only within, but by the renewal of our minds, Paul says. And that's this. That is what we choose to allow in, what we choose to think about, and that transformation cannot, listen, I think this is where people get into problem or get into troubles. Have you heard of self-reformation? Where people say, well, if I kind of get my life together, I'll be accepted by God and I can get better and better and better and better. That self-reformation, what you need is transformation. And the transformation can only be done, and those of you that have trusted in Christ, you know this within your heart, you know what I'm saying is absolutely true. That transformation takes place on that moment that you invite Christ into your heart. You guys know that, don't you? You remember it. I know you do. I know you remember the day. You knew at that point something happened. You didn't know what it was. You didn't know the magnitude of it. You didn't know all the ins and outs. Boy, when I went to Sunday school with my wife, and at that time my girlfriend, when I went to Sunday school with her, she would tremble at the question I would ask the Sunday school teacher because I just didn't know. I was new. But that transformation took place, and all those people in my life had helped, along with the Holy Spirit, had helped transform me. And what I have found is it is a day-to-day process of putting ourselves on the altar, not crawling off, put ourselves on the altar and say, Lord, transform me, transform my mind, help me do the things that you've called me to do, and help me don't do the things you have not called me to do. I think that's pretty good advice. And I guess the last thing that Paul talks about here is testing. Now you'll notice that by testing you may discern. Discern what? If this is worldly or if it's godly. If it's of God or if it's not of God. Because a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable would not do these things. This would not be part of it. So here, by testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This word testing actually is more discern. It's bunched together with discern, and they are related, but this is what it means. To try to learn the genuineness of something by examination and testing. It also means and can mean by experiencing. So what you do is, as a sacrifice, as you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, we talked about that, that means set apart to God, set yourself apart to God, I set myself apart to God, to be an acceptable sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. In other words, I don't think you really worship either until you get to this part. Do not be conformed to this world. I got that. That means I'm not going to fit in their pattern, the way that they live, the way that they act. I'm not going to do it. To this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to start thinking on the things of God, doing the things of God. That, by testing. If your mind is not right, how can you test something? If you're not thinking about the things of God, how can you properly test it? So we have to get our mind in line with our heart, with Christ, and then we can test things. Notice what he says, by testing that you may discern what is the will of God. I firmly believe this. Knut Larson, my friend, deeply helped me understand this. I am absolutely 150%, if I can go that far, 150% in agreement with this statement. Knowing the will of God is not as difficult as people make it out to be. We know the right things to do. We know the wrong things to do. And anything else we got right in here. It's not through a backdoor maze. The will of God, you can simply go, okay, let me examine this. Does this sound like Jesus? Does this sound like the Bible? No, I've tested it. And that's how living sacrifices are. That's how we do it. So serving means, first of all, I think that it requires living sacrifices. And the question that I have for you this morning is, are you a living sacrifice? Is all of your being, tomorrow morning, wake up and say, Father, I place my life on the altar and ask that you use me for your intended purpose. This hit me too, back even when I studied it and going back through it again. I thought, that's something that we need to do daily. This is a daily fight, folks. This is a daily struggle. And guess what? We are all in the struggle together. Surrender to Christ. Separate from the world. And renew your mind. I think that will get us to the proper place for service. And I realize that's a lot of load. That's a lot of things to try to do. But I want you to go back and I want you to go home and I want you to read this text and I want you to talk about it. And I want you to ask yourself serious questions. Am I living like the world? It's easy to do. What do I need to separate from my life? What do I need to add to my life? How am I going to follow Christ in a world that is Christless? How am I going to reach people that need to know Christ? How am I going to do that? Those are big questions. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. And what I mean by knowing Christ is that you have trusted in him as your Lord and Savior. You're not trusting in anything else. You've invited Christ into your heart. If you're in that camp, or you're not in that camp, you can be in that camp simply by turning your life over to Christ. If you're in that camp and you're here today and you need to rededicate your life, this is a great time. Because as we move forward as a church, as we are engaging and connecting and serving, we need to have this down.